Good morning. Can you guys hear me?
No.
No. No take one, no take two. I think you can. If you answer me, you can hear me. All right. You can turn to James chapter 4 on page 856. It may stay open. Hey, thanks for coming. We're in a series on James, and James doesn't seem to want to stop being really strong with us. And he's in a section where he is calling for humility. And I had some interesting meditations on this passage this week, and I'm anxious to sort of walk through a few things here and try to let the mindsets of the Bible come into our own mindsets. And so I'm going to pray and just ask God to bless that. Father, we need you. And Father, I ask, God, I don't want to just know what the Bible says. God, I want to think like the Bible thinks. God, I want to have the same attitudes. God, in your spirit, your new life, you can grant that to us as we put on your mind. Father, I pray that you'd allow us to walk in wisdom. To allow us to walk in these things. God, and they're simple, but to have simple things run our thoughts and our lives. God, the right things. And I pray it would happen. I pray it would happen for me and for these people. And I just thank you for the chance to just sit in truths that we know. And I pray that in sitting under them this morning, God, they'd be more part of us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's read our passage. James 4, we're going to go 13 to 17 and finish the chapter. Verse 13. Now listen. You who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone, then, who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. You know, as I've meditated on the Bible and the truths and what they need for life, there are truths in the Bible that build us up. Some of the ones that we sang about. God loves us. It builds us up. Makes me feel like a million bucks. And then there's truths in the Bible that seemingly sort of tear us down. You're a mist. But somehow, there is a connection between understanding this truth, the one that seemingly tears me down here, one that makes me feel really small here, in wisdom. And what I want to do is just, for probably most of this message, just walk through a theme that we also don't know is in the Bible, but I want to sit under this theme, and maybe at the end, we can touch a little bit more of wisdom. So I'm just inviting you guys to sit under this truth of me for a little bit. But it's a little bit of a truth that tears us down. And that's just James in the Bible doing this to us. And I want to sit here. We sit sometimes under these truths that really build us up, under the love of God. And I want to sit under this truth, this really interesting truth. Ryan, could you close the door for me, please? All right. So, hey, Nick, can I have a clicker? I didn't pick it up. So we're going to walk through a bunch of passages where this theme comes out and see what we learn, and then, but also just to let it roll over our head. Here is man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. And I think about this, and I try to sit under it, and I go, I don't want to be a shadow. What's interesting about a shadow is there's no substance to it. It's there's no matter to it. It's just an effect of the sun. And something else is the thing of substance. Here's Psalm 90. You speak, and man turns back to dust. 1,000 years are but as yesterday to you. They are like a single hour. We glide along the tides of time as swiftly as a racing river and vanish as quickly as a dream. We are like grass that is green in the morning, but mowed down and withered before the evening shadows fall. 70 years are given us, and some may even live to 80. But even the best of these years are often empty and filled with pain. Soon they disappear and we are gone. Who can realize the terrors of your anger? Which of us can fear you as he should? Teach us to number our days and recognize how few they are. Help us to spend them as we should. The last line is it's this prayer, it's this longing from Moses. And the Bible is asking us here to consider our mortality. It's commanding us to consider our mortality. And the reason is so that we can gain a heart of wisdom, which would be what a more literal translation would say here at the end. So that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So that we may spend our days as we should. Living wisely, spending our days as we should, partially comes from considering the shortness of our time on earth. It seems to be what it's saying. So that's what we're doing this morning. We're considering, all right, 1 Peter 1:24, all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off. But the word of the Lord endures forever. So I grew up in Maine. Most of the year it is very cold. And oftentimes there's snow on the ground through large chunks of the winter. And in the summer, there's nice, green, lush, beautiful grass. And then the weather turns freezing again. And it is really cold, and it freezes. And the grass dies. And I always thought, growing up in Maine, that the cold killed the grass. The freezing temperatures killed the grass and made it all brown. And if you could actually have a place that was nice all the time, you'd have green grass all the time. Until I came here. That is not true. If right now you go by a park, it is not green. It is dead. The grass has died. Because what I learned, and what you guys already all knew, was this grass in its DNA, how it's been made, it's meant to die. It can't live forever. It's green, and then it dies. Even if all the conditions are perfect, it will die. And then it starts anew in another cycle. But in the winter, it's still all brown. It's the nicest weather anywhere in the world, but it's brown. Unless you plant winter grass. And then it's on a cycle. We're on a cycle. You live, you're on a cycle, and you die.
your flower. That's beautiful. And then you're a withered flower. And I just think I take a dandelion and I blow it when it's in flower and it blows everywhere and I'm just a dandelion that came and blew and I'm gone. And I think some of the things that the Bible is trying to communicate to us here is that life is frail, that life is short, that death is certain. Those are some of the things that apparently, for wisdom, we need to keep in mind. Here's 1 Chronicles. Here's different versions. So the pretty one with a racing car and whatever, that was the Living Bible. This is the New English Translation. That's what those letters mean after the verse reference there. For we are all resident foreigners and nomads in your presence. Like all our ancestors, our days are like a shadow on the earth without security. O Lord our God, all this wealth which we have collected to build a temple for you to honor your holy name comes from you. It all belongs to you. Awesome verse. David has collected a bunch of stuff for the temple. He's not going to build it, but he's collected a bunch of things. And he is responding back to God. And there's a connection here. Between all the stuff that they have given, all this wealth, and this thought that they're just a shadow on earth. They're just not here very long. And I think what he's saying is, I'm here like this. All this wealth belongs to you. It goes from person to person. It endures. You endure. But I'm here just for a little bit of time. So can I think of all this wealth as even mine? It's not really mine. If I look at any sort of big picture, it's really yours. So it's in, because it is more yours than mine, when I give it to you, that's what's right. If it's yours and I have it and I understand that it's mine, then when you have a need over here, when you want to do something like build a temple, well then, yeah, I give it to you because it's yours. Because the world is all for you. Because it does all belong to you, and I am a shadow. I'm a piece of grass. The wealth is for your purposes. I like that when it says without security. I think David's saying, hey, I don't have security with my money. Maybe that's part of the reason I'm dead. My security it's not coming from my money. I can't control when I die. I can't control anything. So what's right for me to do is to honor you. Is to honor you here. Psalm 78, we'll keep moving. Yet he is compassionate. He forgives sin and does not destroy. He often holds back his anger and does not stir up his fury. He remembered that they were made of flesh and were like a wind that blows past and does not return. So this is Asaph. He's talking about Israel. And he says they're a wind that blows past. And to just sit under here with me, right? There's a breeze, and it comes and it blows your hair a little, or makes you cool a little, or it chills you, but then it's gone. You can't follow it. It's gone. It's the world is like it was before. Just a breeze. And God's point, or Asaph's point, is that God remembers how weak we are. He remembers that I'm easily overwhelmed and that I'm finite and I'm easily overloaded and I'm easily swayed into sin and I'm easily deceived, and I'm weak in my humanness, God remembers. God, you remember. You're gentle with me because you remember. All right. Ephesians. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Here's a connection again. The shortness of time and wisdom. And there's also a connection here between the shortness of time and the will of God, which is the connection in James, which we'll get to. So, the days are evil. That's the most interesting part of that verse. Making best use of the time because the days are evil. And when I think about that, I think how just that time just goes. It just flies by. And you think you have time. But then you look down and all the water has just run down through your fingers and it's gone. You can't grasp it. And if we're going to be wise, if we're going to be intentional, if we're going to get, if we're going to be what God wants us to be on the earth, we've got to seize the day. We have to be intentional. We have to make the most of every opportunity. That's the point, because it just goes. And there are so many people in different seasons of life where the next season of life comes and they go, I missed the last one. I thought I had time to prepare for this or to do that or to what, and I missed it because it just went so fast. And in our lives, right, the time's going, the days are evil, the days are going to go by, and we will be in judgment. And we'll be going, whoa, that water slipped through my fingers. That time went. But Ephesians says, hey, you can be wise and make the best use of the time. And maybe that's part of the clue. Maybe that's so I need to understand the shortness of life so that I make the most of the best of every single opportunity, because it's going to go. Because I need to make the most use of every opportunity. I need to seize the day. All right. Psalm 39. O Lord, make me know my end. And what is the measure of my days? Here's another prayer. He's praying this, what this psalmist wants to know. Let me know how fleeting I am. That's in the Psalms. Like, I just think, oh, have I prayed that? This is interesting, this topic. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Surely man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. That's okay. The thoughts that are in there, you know, you just to think about it, to meditate on it, have my cup of coffee, with my steam and my vapor, and it rises a few inches, and it's gone. And it's saying, hey, that steam, that's you. I think about a nice 10-degree morning. You go outside, get a few inches, you try to see how many inches you can get, but it's gone. It's not a lasting, enduring. And we can think, man, I've got some time. I have got this lifetime, and it's robust, and I can do something great with it. And David's like, no, you got a few hand breaths. Width of your hand, got a couple of those. No big, no great, a couple hand breaths. And in God's perspective, he looks down and it's as nothing. Crazy. It all seems so secure, so stable, so... It's a vapor. Isaiah 40. A voice says, cry out. Another says, what should I cry out? The first voice responds, all people are like grass. And all their promises are like the flowers in the field. The grass dries up, the flowers wither, when the wind sent by the Lord blows on them. Surely humanity is like grass. Grass dries up, the flowers wither, but the decree of our Lord is forever reliable. I really like, the words chosen here. There's a distinction being made here. One is the words of humans. The words of humans. The promises we make. How sure, how reliable are the promises we make? Our promises are just here for a short time. They're just a flower of the field. Right? And I go... It's true, it's right, our promises and what we do, it's beautiful. I get a flower for my wife, and there's this perfect rose on the kitchen table. I go home for a couple days later and it's a little droopy. And a couple days later and I think, why hasn't she thrown that away yet? Come over a couple days later and it's sort of smelly, sort of gross, sort of done. It fades. It's no longer there. Throw it away. It was just there for its time. For the smile it brought in its time. For the beauty and the sweet smellingness in its time. And we have our words and our promises and our life, and they're there, but it's a flower. And contrast that with the decree of God. God's promises, how sure are they? God's word, how sure is it? That's the distinction. And if we know our life's a vapor, if we know that I'm the steam in a cup of coffee, if I know that I'm just the flower and my words, I will go look for something secure, something strong, something that is a foundation. If I'm a dandelion and I'm whatever, stem, and I'm running around in the breeze, I'm looking for, okay, where's a rock? I need a rock here. Because I'm as nothing. My words are as nothing in comparison to something that's foundational, something that is eternal. God's word. And that's what we need to trust. So the more I understand my limitations, the more I look to and trust the person and the words that do not have limitations. And whose promises are sure. Okay. Job. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and they come to an end without hope. Remember that my life is a breath. What is mankind that you make so much of them, and that you pay attention to them? This is an amazing thought at the end. Just go, okay, if I'm a shadow, then why do you care? But he does. But a weaver's shuttle, you know, they don't really know how they made clothes and what their looms looked like. And there are people that go into a long explanation of what it is. I'll tell you what it is. It's quick. That's the thought. I don't need to spend 20 minutes explaining it to you. It's quick. And if you try to put it in today's terms, I would talk about an engine. Right? The piston goes up, it fires, it does the things, it goes back down, and that's it. That's life. Up, down, done. And And the Weaver shuttle is like boom, 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 boom. Piston. Probably faster than I can snap. He's just saying it's quick. It's breath. And I wanted to sit under that truth and show you it's Peter and Job and David and I didn't even touch Ecclesiastes and all of it. Because I don't know if we sit under it enough. That life is short. Point one. Life is short-lived. Simple points around here. Here's our second point. This world is under God's control. Here's Job 14. Man, born of woman, lives but a few days, and they are full of trouble. He grows up like a flower and then withers away. He flees like a shadow and does not remain. Do you fix your eye on such a one? And do you bring me before you for judgment? Who can make a clean thing come from an unclean? No one. I love that. Who can make a clean thing come from an unclean? Well, God can. I'm a testimony to that. Unclean thing that God made clean. Anyway, I was distracted by that. I love that. This bottom part is the one I wanted to... What this is really here for. Since man's days are determined, the number of his months is under your control. You have set his limit, and he cannot pass it. And I just think about our death and how much I'm not in control of my whole life. But one of the things I think about is death. What's the number one killer in America? Heart disease. Death. Heart disease. You guys grasp that? More than cancer. Heart disease. We hear more about cancer because it's a long, drawn-out thing. Heart disease is quicker. So one out of 31 women get breast cancer. One out of three deal with heart disease. That means people in this room. I'm assuming by statistics there's more than three women here. So half the men that have a heart attack and die suddenly had no previous symptoms. Guys walking along, no symptoms of heart disease, and then they have a heart attack. I look at this grand thing. I am not in control. Have an aneurysm and die. Have a heart attack and die. You can get in a car accident and die. We do not know. I am not in control. My days are not in anyone's hands but God's. Your days are in God's hand. A whole bunch of people went to work on September 11th. A normal day. They had no idea. The world was not in their control. And it is good for us to realize my life is short and I am not in control. In any real big, I am not in control. God is in control. Let's look at our passage. This is James. This is the net translation. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into this or that town and spend a year there and do business and make a profit. You do not know about tomorrow. Stop there a second. We don't know about tomorrow. Do we know? Do you know what's going to happen a year from now? Right? People spend their whole lives trying to understand whether the stock market is going to go up and down in a year. And they still don't know. We don't know. Do you know what's going to happen 5 years from now? We don't know. This is encouraging us to think about the future with an understanding that God is in control. That is how we should look at the future. His will come to pass. Let's keep going. Fourth line down at the end. What is your life like? For you are a puff of smoke that appears for a short time and then vanishes. You ought to say instead, if the Lord is willing, then we will live and do this or that. Okay, you can stop there again. The humble way to look at the world is that God is in control. And I don't think we have to say, if the Lord wills this, if the Lord wills that, if at the end of every sentence, or before every sentence, or have it in everything we say about the future. And the reason I think that is because I don't think Paul did. There are times when Paul says, if the Lord wills, or as the Lord wants. And there's times he said it, because it was in his mind. There are times he didn't say it, but I know he was thinking of it. He was dependent on God. God was in his picture as he looked at the future. We should have it in our mind and attitude. And if we don't, we're not living like God is in control. We're not living like God is actively working. And if that is true, then you are living arrogantly. And that's just where the passage goes. The fourth line up from the bottom at the end. But as it is, you boast about your arrogant plans. All such boasting is evil. He's saying, hey, if you live this way, you're arrogant. There is arrogant self-sufficiency and there is humble dependence. And that's what's being contrasted here. Arrogant self-sufficiency and humble dependence. Business ventures aren't bad. Right? Financial planning, according to the book of Proverbs, is good. But if God is sovereign, then it means that we are not. And that line of thinking has to go be in us and be part of the way we interact with the world. We depend on Him. There's no such thing as financial security. Carry all the insurance you want. Our security ultimately is with God. And so I think it's possible that we can be a Christian and think a Christian thing some places, but in other places be practically sort of an atheist. Where we go, I have decided to do this. I'm sort of proud. I've decided to do this and nothing's going to stop me. I will succeed because of my hard work, because of my character, because of my resolve, because of my strength, I will succeed. James says, all such boasting is evil. Or we can think, I have succeeded because of my hard work and business sense. Or we look at the poor and we think, well, if only you would work as hard as I have, you would succeed. That's that same attitude. But Paul looked at the Corinthians and he had a pointed question for them. And he said, what do you have that you do not receive? 1 Corinthians 4:7. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Everything we have comes from His grace. And we fall into pride when we don't keep that in mind. Everything we have. All right, let's go to verse 17, which is the last sentence here. So whoever knows what is good to do and does not do it, it is guilty of sin. Basically, it says, if you know something good you should do and you don't do it, you sin. And for a second, you go, whoa, we're not really talking about sin or obedience or your will. We're talking about humility here. And then all of a sudden, your will is brought into it. Because life is a vapor, because God is in control, we should humble ourselves before God and obey His will. It's the only sane thing. Depend on Him. Humble obedience, in light of those truths, is the only sane thing to do. So I have two practicals here, and then we're going to break bread. The first practical is I want you to just think about, in your own conscience, and in your own heart, is there something you know God wants you to do? Is there a relationship God wants you to fix, or something that He wants you to walk into? Sometimes we don't need to have a great God to come down and speak to us what He wants us to do. Sometimes we already know. In your heart of hearts or in your conscience, what God wants. And you just think about that. Does anything come to mind? What should you be doing? What is it? And some of us, there may be nothing, and you have a clear conscience there. For some people, there is something. And then the application from this message is do that. And live with a clear conscience before God. The second one is to set aside a little bit of time to think about this. On your deathbed, what do you want to see? What do you want to have happened in your life? And as you think about your deathbed and what has transpired in your life, are there goals? You make a short goal list based on those thoughts. So I would say this: think about your deathbed and make a one-sentence mission statement. And then a couple goals based on that mission statement. Now, when a lot of us, at least when I was younger, people have me do this all the time. What do you want out of life? What do you want out of life? Think about what you want out of life. Think about, make your big goals and all this stuff. But then now that I sort of feel like I'm in the middle of life, now that I'm in the middle of life, nobody tells me that. But I don't think it matters where you are. Wisdom comes when we consider... when we consider the end, when we consider the fleeting, when we consider the eternal. And so in light of all that, if you think about the end, what does that mean you want to do this year? What are your goals? Are there things that God wants you to accomplish to finish His work? And how do you get there? And so set aside time to do that. I hope some of us do, or some of us that haven't done that before, at least recently, will. And I think it'll be. I don't think any of us that do walk into that type of meditation about our lives, I don't think any of us will be unhappy that we did. And so that's my encouragement to you. And lastly, we're going to break bread. And I'm going to end here on the thought I started with. There are truths that sort of break us down a little bit. Hey, proud human being, remember you're not in control. Hey, proud human being, remember your life is a piston going up and down. That they speed by. But then there are, and we have to hold that, but then there are truths that really build us up. What is man that you are mindful of him, and not only mindful, that you sent your own son? That you sacrificed your own son for us, for me.
a love that is real with real enough to have precious blood behind it. I think that that gives us a value that blood was shed for us, and that God values the shadow. And we want to recognize here together the death of Jesus and honor Him. And also recognize how humble it was to die for things so small. But I also want to recognize, God, that is building. That you love and you care and you made me valuable and worthy because you are worthy. And so we'll just give you a minute and meditate on some of those truths. Mike, do you want to play around for us a little bit? That would be wonderful while we just spend some time thinking and meditating, and you can break bread there by yourself. And just honor Jesus, recognize His love, and all those crazy thoughts from this morning. Jesus, we honor You, who can make something unclean before You clean before You. Only You, Jesus. Thank You that You love us, that You care for us, that You like each one of us. That You came and pulled us out of a gutter, Lord, and cleaned us up and made us Yours. God, and I am one with the most valuable thing and being in the whole of all of eternity. And I praise You, God, for that love and what it cost You to bring it. You were here and You said, "Remember me." And whenever you drink this cup, remember me. Lord, we remember You. And Lord, help us know all that You have given us in Your Spirit, in Your salvation, in knowing You, and as understand all of our worth and how infinitely more You were worthy. And Father, God, as is prayed in Your Word, Lord, God, also help us understand how fleeting our life is. God, teach us to number our days, that we would know how we should live, that we might gain a heart of wisdom. Father, help us make the most of every opportunity. God, I thank You, You did. When You were here, Jesus, You made the most of opportunities, and especially the opportunity, Lord, to bring us to Your Father. And I thank You. Get to know the Father because of You. And we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.